We are mostly live and completely local. This is Metro South Podcasting.
Welcome to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us and how it affects us here on the South Shore of Massachusetts. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Good morning, good afternoon, good night. I'm Ron Van Dam. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Hey! Pleasure to be with you on this fine Friday, October 10th, 2014, in the year of your Lord. My name is indeed Ron Van Dam, named after the King of Budapest, Ron Van Dam. You didn't know that, did you? Well, neither did I. Made it up. But you're not going to go checking it, because, like, how would you check that out? You'd have to buy an encyclopedia and everything. Oh, that's right. You can Google everything. I forgot about that. How you doing? I'm going to be with you. It's a couple of weeks away from Halloweeny, so I'm going to do kind of a Halloweeny show today. Not that it is Halloween, but if you do a show about Halloween when it's about to be Halloween, then you've kind of missed the whole Halloween thing. I need to warn you about Halloween, because Halloween, how many times can I say Halloween, do you think? Halloween's a scary holiday, man, and not just because it's supposed to be scary with spider webs and witches and ghosts and ghoulish figures and all that kind of stuff, which is just a lovely, lovely thought. But you need to be warned about it, because it's a horrible, horrible holiday. It's awful. It's a holiday where we scare young children and many adults. We make them piss their pants for a holiday. We send kids out to collect candy so that someday they can have advanced stages of diabetes. We do this on purpose. We send them out to eat tons of sugar. It's a holiday. We actually make it a holiday. We dress up in costumes with blood oozing from our faces and our pores and all over our clothes. We dress like zombies that are out to kill each other. We go to houses where there are phony people walking around with chainsaws, threatening to cut your limbs off. That's a holiday. It's a holiday. It's a holiday where we take squash and we cut an opening in it and we stick a candle in it and we make a ghoulish, scary face. It's a holiday. We made this a holiday. It's weird. It's more scary than Christmas. Almost as scary as Columbus Day. Not quite, but pretty close. And we'll talk about that pretty soon, too, the Columbus Day fiasco. In any event, Halloween's a horrible, horrible holiday, and everybody says, oh, it's for the kids. Look at the joy on the kids' faces. Look at the teeth rotting away on the kids' faces. What are you talking about? And in some countries, they're actually trying to stop Halloween because it's an evil, horrible holiday. It's not friendly to anybody. It's nasty. By the way, are you familiar with Sandra Lee? She's on the Food Network, the Food Channel. She's on anything that has the word food in it. She gives parties and Halloween things. She's on HGTV. She has her own magazine. Sandra Lee, not Sarah Lee. Sandra Lee. She'll be joining us during this program today to talk about Halloweeny parties, of which, of course, she's very, very into them. And you know why? Because we live in, name the country we live in, that's right, where it's home of the free and the brave and the people that want to make a lot of money. So we make these holidays into these grandiose situations so that the revenue can stream in for many of us. That's the trickle-down theory. When companies do well, we certainly are so comfortable, aren't we? So much for your trickle-down crap, you. Reagan, yeah, everybody thinks he was a great president. The man slept half the day. He admitted it. His head bobbled around like some kind of a bobble thing. I mean, seriously, man, this is your idol? He stopped communism? Man didn't stop communism. It was on his watch, that's all. Communism failed economically. That's what happened. He didn't do it. He didn't start it. He didn't make it happen. Tear down that wall. He was talking about in the East Room, they wanted to make the room wider. That's all he was saying. Tear down that wall. People just didn't understand the man. I did. I mean, he was okay, but he was not an effective president. He just happened to be around when shit was happening. That's all. Carter, great man. Lousy president. Bad timing. Wrong place, wrong time. Not good. Seriously. Yeah, Carter was there with the hostage situation. Remember that? You couldn't solve the hostage situation. Then Reagan becomes president, and the hostage situation ends, and they credit Reagan for ending the hostage situation. That's not what happened. We changed presidents, and they got sick of holding the people and let them go. And they all accredit this to Reagan. A chimp could have been president, and they would have let the hostages go. As a matter of fact, a president was involved with a chimp. Bedtime for Bonzo, if you recall. One of the most embarrassing presidential moments in our history. Our president was in a film called Bedtime for Bonzo. Ladies and gentlemen, things happen weird sometimes, don't they? All right, let's talk about Halloween, shall you? And I read from the Halloween log. Stardate 10/17. Halloween is a holiday celebrated on the night of October 31st. As you know, the word Halloween is a shortening of All Hallows' Evening, also known as Halloween or Hallows' Eve. Traditional activities include trick-or-treating, yuck, bonfires, with cars in the middle, I guess, costume parties, visiting a haunted house, and carving jack-o'-lantern. Irish and Scottish immigrants carried versions of the tradition to North America. Thanks, guys. In the 19th century, other Western countries embraced the holiday in the late 20th century, including Ireland, the United States, Canada, Puerto Rico, and the United Kingdom, as well as Australia and New Zealand. I think we need some music in the background here for this. Do we? Is there any music? I think so. We'll make it some sad music, perhaps. Yeah, we'll make it sad. There we go. Now you're talking, baby. Now you're talking. Halloween had its origins in the ancient Celtic. The Celtics started it. The basketball team started it. It had its origins in the ancient Celtic festival known as Samhain. Samhain. The festival of Samhain is a celebration at the end of the harvest season in Gaelic culture. Samhain was a time used by the ancient pagans to take stock of supplies and prepare for winter. Well, this has nothing to do with Halloween. What the hell are they talking about? The festival would frequently involve bonfires. It is believed that the fires attracted insects to the area, which attracted bats to the area. The hell do I care about this? Masks and costumes were worn in an attempt to mimic the evil spirits or to appease them. Okay, so they wore masks and costumes to get rid of the insects. Trick-or-treating is an activity for children on or around Halloween in which they proceed from house to house in costumes, asking for treats such as confectionery. With the question posed, trick or treat? The trick part of the trick-or-treat is a threat to play a trick on the homeowner or his property if no treat is given. Nice holiday, ma'am. Trick-or-treating is one of the main traditions of Halloween and has become socially accepted that if one lives in a neighborhood with children, one should purchase treats in preparation for trick-or-treaters. That's what one should do. By threat of having their house ransacked if they don't. The history of Halloween has evolved. The activity is popular in the United States, United Kingdom, Ireland, Canada, and due to increased American cultural influence in recent years, imported through the exposure to U.S. television and other media, trick-or-treating has started to occur among children in many parts of Europe as well, and in Saudi Armakako camps of Durag. I can't even read this crap. In Ohio, Iowa, and Massachusetts, the night designated for trick-or-treating is often referred to as Beggar's Night. We got Beggar's Day here on the median strips. That's where you'll find that. Oh, man. Yeah, this is better. This is better. All right. That's better. Part of the history of Halloween is Halloween costumes. That's the practice of dressing up in costumes and begging door-to-door for treats on holidays. Goes back to the Middle Ages and includes Christmas wassailing. I don't know what that is. Trick-or-treating resembles the late medieval practice of souling, where poor folk would go door-to-door on November 1st, receiving food in return for prayers for the dead. This is like morose. Trick-or-treating spread to the western United States eastward, stalled by sugar rationing that began in April 1942 during World War II and did not end until June 1947. Oh, man. Early national attention to trick-or-treating was given in 1947. Issues of the children's magazines Jack and Jill and Children's Activities and by Halloween episodes on the network. Radio programs like The Baby Snook Show in 1946, The Jack Benny Show, and The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet in 1948. The custom had become firmly established in popular culture by 1952 when Walt Disney portrayed it in the cartoon Trick or Treat. Ozzie and Harriet were besieged by trick-or-treaters on an episode of their television show, and UNICEF first conducted a national campaign for children to raise funds for the charity while trick-or-treating around that time as well. Evil. It's an evil holiday filled with horrible things. Do you know that in many states in this very country and especially in the United Kingdom, which we call England, the night before Halloween, October 30th, is actually a very big problem. Because it is on this night that children and teenagers go out into the streets and cause violence and destruction throughout our country. They break car windows, they toilet paper houses, they smash pumpkins, and they cause havoc. As a matter of fact, that was very dramatic. That's pretty cool. As a matter of fact, the United Kingdom has some horrible problems. They actually are trying to ban various facets of Halloween. Halloween itself, claiming that it is a violent holiday, it promotes violence. Kids in England, actually, it becomes tradition for them to go out and create violence and to destroy property. And that's just the way the culture kind of turned it into. It's like going to a football game or a soccer game or a basketball game or something, and your team actually wins. And as a result, you spill into the streets and turn cars over and smash windows because you are so happy. Imagine what would happen if you lost. And that does happen. Some cities in Canada, because of sporting events, have gone through that type of violence. In Boston, we had that problem, if you remember, with some of the sporting teams winning their championships. People went to the streets and celebrated by smacking each other. Soccer is very violent. People kill each other over soccer. Fight breaks out in the stands and in the parking lots. People get killed. That's the way our society operates. We are loving people who apparently need some type of outlet to kill each other and to maim and destroy. It's just weird. And people say, oh, that's harmless. It's just like rolls of toilet paper all over your property. It's vandalism. It's an assault. Don't ever condone that. So Halloween is upon us. The violence of it. I was brought up in Teaneck, New Jersey. I don't know if you know where that is, and I really don't care. But I was brought up there nonetheless. And Teaneck was about, I'd say about 4 miles at the most from the George Washington Bridge, and then you're in New York. So I say I'm from New York, and I really am. I was born in New York City. My family moved me out to Teaneck, New Jersey, because they couldn't leave me in New York City. I was just an infant. So they took me with them. Thanks. And I went to school out there, to my, my grammar school stuff. And then I lived in New York, went to college there, and, I'm just like the New York culture, like, kind of spills into New Jersey if you're near the bridge, so to speak. In Teaneck, it was a Leave It to Beaver type of neighborhood that I grew up in, which was kind of nice. We didn't have a lot of money. We were the poorer family on the block. But yet we lived in a decent neighborhood in a poor house. And there was crime in this neighborhood. This was a neighborhood that, this is a town that I likened to Hingham or Newton. Fairly upscale kinds of people with upscale kinds of money. You had to have money to live in these things. I don't know how my family pulled it off because we didn't, we didn't have the nicer things really. But the night before Halloween, every single year when I was growing up, there was a destruction night. And all the kids in the school would go out when it got dark, and somehow the parents let them out because I don't know why. And they would smash the pumpkins and throw toilet paper over trees and people's houses and stuff and shaving cream on people's car windows. And when you would get up the morning of Halloween on October 31st, I would go to school, have my book bag caressing my body. Sounds sexual, but I was just on my way to school with my books. And it looked like some type of bombed out area. I just food smashed all over the streets and cars just assaulted and things were messy, horrible looking. And you know that the cops were out all night running from place to place. It's just a horrible thing. And I don't know. I enjoyed Halloween itself. I enjoyed collecting the candy and then hiding the candy from my parents. They would always confiscate the candy, figuring that if I ate all the candy, I would get sick. But I was a smart kid. I had an alternate place to put most of my candy. I had a container the side of my house that my parents didn't know about. And when I came back from trick-or-treating, I would go to this container and dump, like, 2/3 of the candy in there and walk into the house with my little Halloween bag and there'd only be 1/3 of the candy in there. My parents always probably thought, my kid doesn't know how to beg. He's not doing well. Well, actually, I did very well. They only saw 1/3 of what I collected. And I would take the 2/3 of what they didn't know about and I'd sneak it into my room And I'd be eating that candy all night when I got up in the morning. On November 1st, I'd be sick. My stomach was hurting. I'd be like flying off the roof from the sugar high. But I love my candy, man. I thought that was the best holiday in the world. Then I got older, and I thought, well, it's all right. And I realized what a horrible, horrible holiday it is. There is absolutely no redeeming value to this holiday whatsoever. None. None. We teach our children that there are horrible, scary things out in the world, which there are, but they're more in the shape of ISIS and that kind of thing, but lawyers, but you don't want to go necessarily like cram it into your kid's head that there's evil and people that will saw off your limbs. Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to scare the hell out of your children? What possible benefit would that be? But parents do it. And with movies now, the way that they are, where we graphically see these horrible things happen, back in the 50s when kids were being scared, you never saw that stuff. They didn't graphically show you anything. I mean, Hitchcock's stuff, you know, was they didn't even, it was in black and white. They didn't even use stage blood. They used like chocolate because you couldn't tell. They never showed you the murder. They implied the murder. You saw a body lying there, but you didn't see blood all over the place. Now we see limbs hanging off of things and the little nerve endings strewning all over the floor and pools of blood and people's heads cut off, which is also the real world now, unfortunately. It's graphic. It wasn't graphic in the 50s, in the 60s, in the 70s, in the 80s. Now it's graphic. And your little children are being exposed to this anyway in the movies. But now there's an actual holiday which celebrates this. Celebrates horror and terror. And maiming and death. Yay, kids. Let's celebrate terror and death and enjoy some candy while we do it. It's a strange, strange situation, I think, in my mind. Well, let's talk to Sandra Lee. Sandra's all over the place. I don't mean that in a sexual sense. I mean it in an entertainment sense. Let's say hello to... I've known Sandra for a while. She's been on the show a number of times, at least half a dozen times, and she's pretty cool. And we're speaking now to Sandra Lee. She's a multi-Emmy-winning... food person. She's all over the place on HGTV, Food Network Cooking Channel. We've spoken to her before. Here she is again. Good morning, Sandra. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you? Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween to you. It's my favorite religious holiday.
Naughty.
All right, fine.
I'm not going there with you.
Yeah, naughty. I know. It was just like silence. Okay. Well, when we turn to holiday parties, we turn to you, and Halloween is. I've seen a lot of your YouTube things where you're doing holiday parties, and a lot of people take advice from you. This is a big one coming up.
Mm-hmm. Well, we do a lot of Halloween. I obviously every single year I try to be a new version of Cher. She's my favorite. But this year, I have to say, Maleficent is the hot costume for women. Everybody wants to look like Angelina Jolie.
Oh.
And for the kids, it is, for the little girl, of course, it's Frozen. And for the little boy, it's a ninja warrior. And then dad, of course, has to be a superhero. So I am partnering with a great costume company, all for charity. For UNICEF, so buycostumes.com, which is where I normally get a lot of my costumes anyway.
Uh-huh.
I'm partnering with them, and if you buy your costumes there online, they're going to be shipped right to your home, lickety-split, and 10% of the proceeds go to UNICEF.
Well, that's a good thing. That's a win-win.
Isn't that a great thing?
That's wonderful.
So there's your religion and your holiday, babe.
Wow. So the most popular costume is Angelina Jolie for you?
Well, no, not... Well, you know what? I don't know. I have to say that this particular costume, you probably could have that figure. Okay. It is a beautiful costume with big sleeves and, you know...
Wow.
Halloween, I think it's wonderful.
Halloween's changed a lot since I used to celebrate that thing. My goodness. All right. So now you're the recipe person still, and I don't care. I mean, costumes are great. Buy costumes. That's BUY costumes. Okay. What? Give me an idea that'll please the people coming over to my house for this Halloween party.
So, well, the first thing you want to do is pick a theme. And,
yeah,
of course, I'm all about the tablescape and the decor.
Yeah.
So, and every year, or every Tuesday until Halloween is Orange Tuesday. That is a new big movement this year. Orange is the new black, right?
Yes.
So Orange Tuesday, and you roll out the orange carpet, which, by the way, can be felt, and you can get it from a craft store. But I do a lot of paper fans. I do traditional orange and black. I do some spider webs, a big happy Halloween sign,
yeah,
and I do these beautiful black laser cut chandeliers. So go to orangetuesday.com and check out their decor items. For the food,
yeah,
I'm doing a mixture of savory and sweet. All the food I'm going to be serving is in my magazine, the Sandra Lee magazine. You can get it at the grocery store.
Yeah.
Pick it up, and the recipes are there. Shop your way through. I'm using things like I'm doing Dracula's chicken wings. And you're just taking a dry seasoning. You can use a barbecue dry seasoning from McCormick's. You can use something like an Old Bay. You just mix it up in a baggie, kind of like shake and bake, but it's not shake and bake.
Mm-hmm.
You put that in the oven and you bake it off. They have frozen potato skins, and the potato skins are basically they're quartered potatoes the long way, already cheese and bacon in them. You cook them up in the oven and you decorate them with olive for eyes and roasted red pepper for the mouth, and then you drizzle with sour cream. Fabulous.
Interesting.
Candied apples, easy to do. You can buy them ready-made, or you can dip in caramels yourself. Just melt down the caramels. Now, here's the deal. Instead of using a stick in your candied apple, you're going to stick a baby broom that you get at the craft store upside down and into the apple, so the broom sticking out, and a little tiny witch hat on the side.
Whoa.
Think scrapbooking section of the craft store. Something little but really cute. Those are the kinds of easy ideas you find in the magazine.
Okay.
I buy store-bought cupcakes or corn muffins. Cut them in half. The bottoms go together with a little bit of icing or a little bit of cream cheese in between. So if the bottoms go together as a sandwich, you can make a jack-o'-lantern out of that very easily because it's square top and bottom. The tops come together with something in between, and it looks like a pumpkin. You just decorate it up.
See, this
right?
is why...
You have ideas. Do you want another 100?
Yeah, this is why you are who you are. Who else would think of something like this?
So I have a question for you.
What's that?
What do you think the most popular pet costume is?
Ooh.
Or a dog. Let's just focus on the dog. What's the hottest dog costume out there?
Well, I mean, I go back in time, but I would say the Snoopy thing, but no, probably.
That's a good one. I was thinking Marmaduke myself, but the dog costume of the year is Waldo, as in Where's Waldo?
Really?
How funny is that?
But that's not a dog. Is
it? Yeah, Waldo?
Oh, I thought it was a person. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but Where's Waldo is a person, but
yeah.
I mean it's a dog costume for a dog. And Waldo's a dog's name, right?
Oh, so you're dressing the dog up like a person.
Ha!
I'm a little slow, Sandra.
A lot of persons I know are... No, they're not.
All right. Okay. Well, that's a great idea.
So
even dress up the pets. And where do you get these dog costumes from?
Well, you can go to buycostumes.com if you want to order them online.
Uh-huh.
That's where I go. But it just, you know, they're all over the place, right?
Yeah.
Go there. They donate to UNICEF. Costumes are, you know, you don't even have to go out and buy them. That saves you money right there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, these are great ideas.
From your home computer.
I would never think of something like this. Okay, so give me the list again of where I can go. It's buycostumes.com. And,
okay, so here's the Halloween list.
Go,
out your pen.
Go, here we go.
Costumes, you're going to go to buycostumes.com. Decor, you're going to go to by Seasons or OrangeTuesday.com. Okay. If you want great invitations for your party and a fantastic way to track it, go to Evite.com. And if you want recipes, go to SandraLee.com or pick up the magazine in the grocery store.
And buy a computer, otherwise you can't do this. All right.
You are so funny.
No, you are. Sandra, thank you so much for your time, and everybody's going to have a great party. Thank you.
Happy Halloween.
Bye-bye.
Bye, honey.
Sandra's a nice lady. I was being kind. I didn't down Halloween for her. She was trying to make a point. Nice lady. I would go to one of her parties if it was serving alcohol. I'd go to any party if it was serving alcohol. That doesn't sound right, though, does it? Wish Halloween was just more peaceful and just like a sweet holiday, you know what I mean? Like, there weren't witches and cobwebs and spiders and hacksaws involved. Wouldn't that be nice for the kids? So many parents spend all of their kids' childhood trying to convince them that there's not a monster under the bed. There's no boogeyman in the closet. There's no booger in their nose. There's no shadow man looming over them. And yet, we thrust them into a holiday that confirms all of these things. Sometimes, as a group of human beings, we make no sense whatsoever. We do the opposite of what makes sense. Halloween's one of them. We form a holiday for the children, and then when they're old enough, we teach them to go out and to destroy things for that holiday. And the dentists love Halloween as well. Oh, they don't condone it. They say it's horrible, but you know when it's time for the checkup. Time to drill some teeth and get some fillings in there and make some money. You know, they're a happy bunch of guys and girls. That's kind of ironic. Thanksgiving is the next holiday where you share food, you give thanks. Christmas comes along, and it's a very religious holiday, and it's peace among men. I guess women too, I'm not sure. But somehow the first one, Halloween, is not peace. It's not sharing food. It's greed, horror, death, diabetes, stomach aches, dressing up like something that you're not. I don't know. Thank you. I remember a time when Halloween was a simple holiday. When I was a kid, all my costumes had masks. And it was another evil trick on Halloween that society plays upon you, where you go from house to house. There are leaves on the ground, which make the ground very, very slippery. Whether the leaves are wet or not, you cannot stand on them and not fall down. Leaves are all over the place. Halloween occurs when the leaves have just fallen from the trees, and they are their slipperiest. They haven't been removed yet. They're tragic. Kids walking up steps to reach a front door of somebody's house. And what do? In order to make this mostly inconvenient for the child so that they can get hurt, we put masks on their face with little tiny plastic eyelets so that they can't see what the hell they're doing or where the hell they're going. That just compounds the wonderful, wonderful aspect of Halloween. I don't know. As an adult, it's a weird holiday. I never know when it's over. There should be an ending time. Halloween is allowed until 7 o'clock. Then no one's going to answer their door. You turn the light off. You do your thing. But I'll tell you, on Halloween, I have no idea when the damn thing's over, when it starts. So as a result, my doorbell rings about 30 times at various intervals just when I'm about to do something. Somehow, the little bastards know exactly when to ring the doorbell when I'm taking a piss. I have a large bowl of candy near my front door, and in the bowl is an assortment of candy. If a kid comes to the front door whom I don't like, I will give them candy that I know will basically hurt them. Not in a horrible sense, in a sense of like candy corn. No kid likes candy corn. I kind of liked candy corn when I was a kid until I realized when I got older, that is like pure sugar just painted to look like a corn thing. I give those to kids I don't like. Of course, they're bagged. Kids that I do like, I give them the things that I would like too, like the little Payday Junior bar things. The Junior mints are wonderful. The little Milky Way miniature bars are fun. The little package of M&Ms are nice. I give those to the kids I like, nicely packaged. With today's concern about sugar and diabetes, because more than half of the kids coming to the door to get candy, you know that in 40 years they will be diabetics. Do you realize that diabetes has increased year after year after year after year for decades now, to the point where these children knocking on my door on Halloween will be diabetic? They will be. It's probably going to be a fact. And that's sad. And really, it should change. The kids should not be getting candy for Halloween. It should change. I would like to give them scoops of mashed potatoes, which I happen to do very well. Or perhaps little scoops of spinach. Something like that. Maybe a fruit cup. Maybe a small container of yogurt. By the way, I don't like sugar anymore. I keep away from sugar. I keep away from candy. Even if you put candy in front of me, I will not eat it. I will not eat it. I find it to be, when you don't have something for a while, you might crave it, but then when you eat it, you go, ew, I really don't want this anymore. Because your body like starts to figure like, it's a lot of sugar. So I don't do sugar. But I like yogurt, and I've been told by the authorities that Greek yogurt is very, very good for your digestive system. And there are a lot of whatevers in there. There's like 10 billion whatevers in there. bacteria, the good bacteria. I don't know what the good bacteria is. I guess that's the bacteria that is like really nice. I don't know. But it's good. But it has like 7 grams of sugar in each tiny little container of yogurt, each individual serving. And I'm wondering why no yogurt company has come out with sugar-free yogurt. Obviously, the chemicals that they put into things in order to sweeten them are bad for you as well. But if you're concerned about your sugar intake, it is an alternative. And I've been to all the major supermarkets, the Shaw's, the Market Basket of Fun, the Stop and Then You Shop, the Roach Brothers people, the Hannaford's people, and I've not seen any sugar-free yogurt ever at all. At all. I've had yogurt without sugar in it. It's appallingly disgusting. So you need a little sugar-free stuff going in there. You need a little of that fake sugar stuff, or sugar alcohol, I think they call it. And by the way, anything with the word alcohol in it and sugar in it has got to be a decent concept. But nobody's doing it. So my question to you is, who wants to partner with me to create the world's first sugar-free yogurt? And I cannot figure out why none of the yogurt companies, who are giants in the food industry, have even tried something like this. There must be a reason for it, but I can't figure out what it is, because there's sugar-free everything, but not sugar-free yogurt. Unless you can find it somewhere. Someone will probably Google this. I haven't Googled it because I feel stupid Googling everything that I don't know. But I'm wondering about that. It's what makes my life interesting, wondering why there is no sugar-free yogurt. It's what I'm all about, I suppose. It's what keeps me waking up every morning. The curiosities of life. Why is there any sugar-free yogurt? Anyway. All right, it's Friday. People gearing up for the big weekend. It's Columbus Day weekend. Columbus Day is Monday, and I suppose we should spend just a few minutes talking about the legacy of this wonderful Italian gentleman who apparently was an asshole. And, of course, you probably know this. When I was growing up, Columbus was a hero. He discovered America. He was on a boat, and he said, "Oh, look over there, it's America." Like there was never anybody here on the land at all. Like it was not inhabited. There were no people here whatsoever. To discover a place, you have to pretty much have like no civilization on it whatsoever. No people. No one was there before you. That's what discovering is. I don't understand how Columbus went over to this landmass called the United States now, I suppose, or America, and found Indians and all different kinds of people and said, "I'm discovering this." No, you fucking asshole. There are people here already. You can't discover something that's already there. But somehow the history books bought this deal. They said, "Yeah, he discovered America." No, man, there were people here already. You can't discover something that's already inhabited. I don't get it. And apparently Columbus was an asshole. He was a lousy man. Did lousy, terrible things. And we honor this man. I mean, you might as well say that Trump discovered America, because he's an asshole too. So there are actually some states who are saying, "Nah, I don't want to call this Columbus Day anymore because Columbus was an asshole. Let's call it Asshole Day," in which case we don't know who we're honoring, because that could be anybody. They want to do some type of honoring Italian Day, because Columbus Day has turned into Italian Day, you see. The way things evolve is just crazy. So when Columbus Day rolls around on Monday and they have the Columbus Day sales and all that kind of thing, Tell your children, please, that Columbus did not discover America, that he didn't even come close to doing that, that he was an asshole. And I think you'll be doing your child a world of good. Tell him that while he's being chased by a man with a chainsaw and shoving large amounts of candy into his stomach, or her stomach, certainly. I don't want to say that all children are male. They are also female as well. Actually, there are more females in the world than there are men, as I understand it, or at least in the United States. So how about this? If every female voted, they would have the pick of who all the people who serve public office would be. The president, their state reps, their everybody, their U.S. reps, they would all be females. If females, I mean, if you like females and you're female, they would all be females, because you can like rule the country because you are the majority. So go out and do it, man. Take advantage. Do it. Do it. Just do it. Have yourselves a wonderful weekend and a wonderful Asshole Columbus Day. And I'll be back with you on Tuesday with, actually we're going to do a show on Monday. So come back Monday, same time, and there'll be a new show here on Monday. Yeah, we're doing Monday because it's Asshole Columbus Day. How can you not? I wish you peace, by the way.